Hello and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast. This week we're diving into everything announced at Google I.O. 2026, from Gemini AI taking over basically every Google product in existence to Google's latest attempts to bring back, I can't believe I'm going to say this, Google Glass.
Ah, yes. We'll be breaking down Google's ambitious new Project Aura XR glasses, the stylish new Android XR eyewear coming for Meta's Ray-Bans, and how Google, Meta, and even Apple are all racing to define what the future of wearable AI actually looks like.
But before we get into all that, a huge thanks to our sponsor, CX. You know that feeling when you suddenly need a brand new gadget?
Meanwhile, your old phone, tablet, console, or laptop is sitting in a little drawer doing nothing when it could actually be worth decent money and put towards your new upgrade.
That's where CX come in. You can trade in your old tech for cash or put the value towards something you really want.
And if you're buying, everything is fully tested, checked, and ready for a second life.
Which means you don't always have to buy brand new tech to get great tech.
Plus, with a 5-year warranty included, you're getting proper peace of mind as well.
Smarter tech buying, less waste, and probably more money left in your pocket.
Yeah, check out webuy.com or pop into your local CEX and see what your old gadgets are really worth.
Before we dive in, if you're enjoying the Gadget Show podcast, give us a quick follow or a subscribe wherever you watch or listen. And if you fancy leaving a rating or a review, even better, it helps more people find the show, keeps the podcast going strong, and means you'll never miss an episode when it drops. Okay, first up, Susie, what's caught your attention over the last couple of weeks?
Well, last weekend, I was amazed to see Swatch stores across the UK had to literally shut down after crowds started building up for a £335 pocket watch. Not a Rolex, not a solid gold Omega, a Swatch. So shops in Manchester, Liverpool, Birmingham, Sheffield, Glasgow, Cardiff and London all closed because queues got so out of hand. The company said it was down to safety considerations. And this wasn't just a few eager collectors politely queuing with a Costa and a folding chair. Police were called to Liverpool after reports of threats outside the shop. One bloke got arrested in Cardiff. And apparently some people in New York camped in Times Square for a week waiting to buy one. I mean, honestly, this is incredible. Now, the watch itself is a collab between Swatch and luxury Swiss maker AP. And it's called Royal Pop, and mixes the classic Royal Oak design with Swatch's colourful 1980s pop aesthetic. Basically, high fashion meets Fisher-Price. The watch costs £335 retail, yet some have appeared online for up to £2,000. That's not scalping anymore, that's organised crime.
Yeah.
Swatch has now gone online begging people not to rush stores, reminding everyone the watches will apparently be available for several months, which raises the obvious question, if there are loads coming, why are people behaving like it's the final helicopter out of Saigon or something? And honestly, this feels like another perfect example of internet hype culture gone completely feral. We've seen it with trainers, graphics cards, prime drinks, concert tickets, and now apparently it's pocket watches, Jace. We're one TikTok trend away from riots outside WH Smith over a limited edition calculator, I'm telling you.
Well, it's like... You know, I know you'll agree with me on this. The world's just gone mad, isn't it? It doesn't matter what aspect of life you're talking about. It's just mad. And I think it's difficult to put all the blame on social media all the time. But this phenomenon is very much a social media-derived frenzy, right? So I would say, and I know this, again, is something you'll relate to. I was a massive Swatch fan, Suze, in the
80s. Yeah, we love Swatches.
Oh, they were so innovative. And I remember I had a grey one with, you know, proper 80s kind of like half tone and orange, grey and orange, you know, and white. That sort of that kind of blueprint paper kind of texture that was very hip in the 80s. In fact, I had another one. I had a white one as well.
But that was the thing. You could have a collection of them because they were affordable. And you could just change them and suit whatever you were wearing, couldn't you, really?
Yeah. And this particular design from AP, who are a very prestigious watch brand, as you know, actually, I really like it. And one of the reasons that I particularly like the pink, I think it's pink and yellow. There's a great black and white one as well. There's a brown face. I don't know if we can pop some pictures up on screen. I was following this with real interest over the weekend. And I actually
as
liked
as long as
them.
You weren't rioting outside the store, were you?
No, no. Liverpool. I wasn't beyond trying to get one. I was quite interested because I liked the style. And yeah. I was quite interested. I was also following people on Instagram. So, again, it really is social media really fueling this, who were showing that they had got the tool and they were making straps so you could turn it into a wristwatch because, of course, it's a pocket watch. This Firenze is about a pocket watch, right? Mm-hmm. And then people are making straps and they were clipping them into the straps on day one to see if their strap design worked and offering you the strap for £100 or whatever. So you could basically make an AP wristwatch with a kind of swatch plasticity for, you know, 350, 450 quid, you know. And then obviously the fuel in the fire is the fact that enormous prices, I don't know, I'm going to say enormous prices are being met online. I don't know that they're selling, but they're definitely trying to sell them, as you say, for about 2,000, maybe even £3,000. So it was exciting, but I actually for once really liked the design. I'd love to have one on my wrist. You can see I've got an orange and translucent, digital watch on today. I like that kind of 80s look. But yeah,
do you know what? I really love the fact that it's a pocket watch, and just a little bit different. It's like a throwback, isn't it? To not looking at your phone to see what the time is, just to have a little pocket watch. I think that's very cool.
It's really quirky, and I think what they've done is really cool. And it has a kind of, it has retro credentials, but the public's reaction to it is absolutely insane. I mean, people were actually fighting, I forget where it was. It wasn't in the UK, but there were like proper like fisticuffs and stuff. It was just ridiculous. And that side of it obviously is madness. But from a product design point of view, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, life is a bit of a fever dream right now, isn't it? What about you? What anything caught your eye?
Okay, well, one story that fascinated me involved 10 AI bots, no humans, no supervision, and just a kind of Sims-like experiment where these AI bots were dumped into a virtual town together for, I think, 15 days to see what would happen. So it's like a kind of social experiment, but instead of humans, it's AI bots. So it turns out that the robots, we'll call them, might not be ready to run our civilization just yet. Because this new experiment, which was called the Emergence World, locked some of the biggest AI models on the planet into simulated societies. The likes of ChatGPT, Google Gemini, Claude, Grok was involved, and then mixed them all together, exchanging ideas and kind of seeing what would happen. So I don't think the idea was to see which was smartest or anything like that, but it was more about, you know, could they communicate? Could they form a functioning society? So you have to forgive me because this was a complex experiment and I'm not 100% up to speed with it. I just found it fascinating. GPT's civilization apparently completely collapsed by day 6. Grok didn't do much better. Its society is reported to have imploded by day 5. Gemini, meanwhile, turned into absolute chaos, racking up a staggering 683 virtual crimes, whatever those are, in just over 2 weeks.
It just sounds like our political landscape, this
it does,
doesn't it,
Susie.
Really?
Really, oh, my God. You couldn't have put it better. It literally mirrors the chaos we've seen in Westminster in the last 2 weeks. Weirdly, the best-behaved AI turned out to be Claude from Anthropic. And I'm sort of, it's almost like a football match. I'm like, which of the hooligans wins? Because I'm really into Claude at the moment. Zero crimes. There's a bonus. Not one. Although researchers did point out that everyone in Claude world seemed to agree with each other a bit too much, almost like a creepy AI dictatorship where everyone's, sort of forced to stay in line because they're secretly terrified.
I mean, Logan's Run again.
The reason that we're best equipped for AI, Suze, our generation, is because we lived through the 80s science fiction and we've seen the result of all of this already. Anyway, I'll try and sum it up. One of the strangest findings was how little some of these AIs actually did once they were left to their devices, right? So ChatGPT and Grok barely explored anywhere, although, you know, like I said, I'm not entirely down with what that means, but anyway, they barely communicated publicly and in some cases they kind of just sat quietly and gave up. One model even voted to delete itself before the experiment ended. And remember, These are the same systems, all right, from the companies that right now are racing to offer us a whole bunch of solutions to solve every problem we've ever had. So, yeah, definitely something I'd like to be more up to speed with. I was desperately trying to get this research done today to bring it to you. So forgive me if that's not the best summary. In fact, if you're listening and you know more about this experiment, do get in touch via the comments on any platform. Patreon's the best because we can directly answer you. Interested to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and if you weren't terrified by AI before, then you probably
are. Yeah. Okay, this is important. Our Gadget Show competition is still live, but this is your last week to enter. Yes, your last opportunity to be in with a chance of winning £5,000 to spend at CEX. Yes, £5,000.
And this one is just for our Patreon listeners, so you're not up against the entire internet. Your odds are actually pretty decent.
To enter, head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow and sign up to one of our paid tiers, light, mid or max. They start at about the price of a cup of coffee.
Light gets you one entry, mid gets you three, and max gets you five. So if you fancy tipping the odds in your favour, then that's the one to go for.
Then just send us a DM on Patreon with the answer to this. When did The Gadget Show first air on TV? Was it A, 2002, B, 2004, C, 2006, or D, 2007?
And don't forget, you're not just entering the competition.
Yeah, you'll get ad-free episodes, early access bonus bits.
And on Max, the full Gadget Show archive, 20 years, nearly 500 episodes. It's all there.
That's absolutely extraordinary. But don't hang about. Entries close next week and we'll be revealing the winner shortly. So if you want better odds, loads of extras and a shot at a £5,000 tech shopping spree, head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow now.
Full terms and conditions are linked in the episode. Right, let's get on to Google's annual I.O. developer conference then, which wrapped up earlier this week, shall we? And yes, unsurprisingly, artificial intelligence dominated absolutely everything. But buried amongst all the Gemini updates and AI demos was something that I thought was far more interesting. Google's latest attempt to make smart glasses happen again. So at least this time, it feels a lot more serious. So firstly, as expected, Google unveiled another huge wave of Gemini AI upgrades. The new Gemini 3.5 models are faster, more capable, and now deeply integrated across pretty much every Google product imaginable. So in search, Gemini can now generate interactive answers, summaries, charts, and even mini apps instead of simply giving you a list of links. In Gmail, you'd be able to search your inbox conversationally, literally asking things like find my hotel confirmation number and getting the answer directly back. Now, this does interest me, actually. Google Docs and Workspace are becoming increasingly AI assisted too, helping with writing, organisation and productivity. And Android itself is becoming more agentic, meaning Gemini can increasingly carry out tasks across apps on your behalf rather than simply responding to prompts. But honestly, the most interesting part of I.O. this year was wearable tech. First up, Project Aura. So this is Google's more ambitious collaboration with Xreal. And these are proper Android XR display glasses. Unlike standard smart glasses, Aura can actually place digital information directly into your field of view using optical see-through displays built in the lenses. Now, I know this is what you've been after. And the specs are... And the specs, they are genuinely impressive. Project Aura reportedly features a huge 70-degree field of view, which is enormous for glasses this size, and much wider than current AR eyewear. Google demonstrated floating interface elements, navigation overlays, immersive Google Maps, multi-window apps, YouTube in virtual cinema mode, Gemini AI assistance and live contextual information connected apps like Calendar and Keep. The glasses themselves stay relatively lightweight because the heavy computing and battery hardware live inside a separate wired computer puck. Basically, a wearable mini computer you can keep in your pocket or wear around your neck. I wouldn't wear mine around my neck. That would be weird. That puck now includes a fingerprint scanner for unlocking the system as well. And Google says it's significantly more powerful than the early prototype hardware. And importantly, these aren't really designed as all-day glasses like Meta's standard Ray-Bans. Google and Xreal are positioning Aura more as a lightweight spatial computing device, something for, you know, for immersive entertainment, for travel, for productivity, multi-screen working, and advanced augmented reality experiences, almost like a cut-down Apple Vision Pro, if you like. Now, Google also announced an entirely separate category of glasses developed with Warby Parker and Gentle Monster. Google calls these intelligent eyewear, stylish, lightweight glasses designed for normal everyday use. So the opposite of what we just discussed. These are much closer to Meta's Ray-Ban smart glasses. Hands-free AI assistance, live translation, notifications, navigation, microphones, speakers, but no screen and contextual Gemini features. But in glasses that are supposed to look fashionable enough to wear all day. And that is where the direct battle with Meta begins. Right now, Meta arguably still head the smart glasses market thanks to its Ray-Ban partnership. We've talked about this on the pod before, haven't we? Because Meta understood something very important early on. People aren't going to wear futuristic face computers if they look absolutely ridiculous. So Meta focused heavily on wearability, style and simplicity first, building smart glasses that feel more like normal eyewear with AI features layering in gradually. Now, what's interesting is that Google and Meta actually seem to be converging towards similar strategies. Both companies now believe there's probably room for two categories in smart glasses. One lightweight wearable AI glass for every use, and another more advanced display equipped XR glasses for immersive augmented reality experiences. The difference is mainly in emphasis. Meta still feels very consumer first and fashion led. Google is pushing much harder towards full Android XR spatial computing powered by Gemini AI. And honestly, there is a reason that nobody's cracked this market yet. The more powerful these glasses become, the more useful they are for navigation, translation, notifications, and augmented reality experiences. But advanced displays also create problems. The obvious: battery life, heat, processing power, cost and weight, and of course, the social challenge of convincing normal people to wear a computer on your face and the privacy issues that become involved. And looming over all of this is, guess who? Apple. Apple still hasn't officially revealed smart glasses, but industry rumours suggest it's working on its own AI-integrated wearable devices. Current expectations are that Apple's first glasses may focus more on cameras, audio, AI assistance, and tight iPhone integration before eventually moving towards full augmented reality, which would actually place Apple somewhere between Meta's wearable first approach and Google's much more ambitious XR vision. But after Google I.O. 2026, one thing is becoming very, very clear. The next major AI platform battle probably won't just happen on your phone. It'll happen right in front of your face, in front of your eyes. And for the first time since original Google Glass era, wearable AI genuinely feels like it might finally be getting close to mainstream reality. What do you think?
I mean, so I felt that the large amount of time that I had to spend listening to...
There was a lot of blur, wasn't there?
Well, I wrote a list, actually. Gemini 3.5 Flash, Gemini Spark, Synth ID. What else was there? Flow. There were so many different types of AI... platform across a whole range of different services that even with my kind of working knowledge of what the various AI platforms are doing, I was completely befuddled, and it all kind of one thing about Apple's sort of comparable launches or events, sort of town halls, is that they have a really good way of blending a narrative, don't they? And they talk about scenarios that maybe, certainly for me, are maybe a bit more realistic. I felt that the scenarios of walking along with the intelligent eyewear that's just audio, I think it was called Google Audio, so not the super duper Xreal version that you've just been talking about. The other one, getting some posh coffee drink and finding out where the park is. I could just do it on my phone. Like, I could just do it on my phone. And you know that coming from me, that's quite a big deal because I'm all in for XR. However, Project Aura did excite me. It was literally the only thing. I mean, the Gemini integration into, say, Gmail and Google, that impressed me too. I noted that you said that you were quite... Mm. I felt maybe like me, you've kind of been waiting for that side of the agentic AI thing.
I think so.
Because it's useful, isn't it? To find emails.
Exactly. And if you travel a lot, you know, I can never remember confirmation numbers and what hotel are we staying at?
Yeah.
What's the flight number? Got to put it in to put your bag and all that crap that you have to keep going back and finding. That would be brilliant for that if it works.
It'd be great. That's the thing, Susan, is if it works. And the likes of Claude, which I mentioned earlier, I've been knee deep in Claude for the last month and really, really enjoying it. I've sort of dropped OpenAI now, and I've moved over to Anthropic. And just because I like to, as a tech journalist, you know, like yourself, I like to just not necessarily stay in one camp for too long. And anyway, why am I saying that? Because the connectors that go into Claude enable you to do exactly what we're talking about, to search Gmail, to look at Google Drive, to connect those, to look at my hard drive, to find a picture on my hard drive and send it to me on my phone. This is something that Claude can do right now. We've talked about OpenClaw. That's why everyone got excited about that project, which is obviously nothing to do with Anthropic, but sounds like it is. So now the fact that Google are doing this is exciting, because it does mean, Susie, that when you're, you know, at the airport and you can't find this and you're not sure where your taxi was booked for and which terminal you're, that's definitely where this is going. So that's exciting, isn't it? And nice things like they announced you're going to be able to do contextual searches. They called it something else, I can't remember, in YouTube, right? And that's really interesting. So you could say something like, I've got a sore back. Can you provide me with some exercises, right? And so then YouTube, rather than just doing a dumb search around the word exercise and back, it would use a large language model to provide a number of different video options for you. And based on the IO presentation that we're talking about, it will actually start you in the timeline where the exercise is. So that's an interesting development. Yeah. That's sort of, yes. Aura, the Project Aura glasses do look sexy. I've had a chance to see them, you know, believe it when I see it, quite literally. Would like to put them on my face. Not sure about the puck. I'm not a big fan of the kind of puck thing that everyone's going for, led by the Vision Pro. And yes, I agree that your point about Apple, that's the point, isn't it? You know, that's the exciting thing, is that we're going to face a battle. And that's always good for the consumer, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you normally win with that. Consumer's king again, which would be nice.
Yeah.
All right, so here's something then. Now we've got a little bit of information about the big players, the three big players, really. Which do you think you would be buying when Apple come into the market, let's say?
In September, you think? They'll be announcing in September, do you think, possibly?
Yeah.
Apple, without a shadow of a doubt. I still look at the Vision Pro with its incredible, you know, industrial design, and I really want to have one. I want to play with it. I don't think it would change my life, but I love it. I just don't have £3,500, but I do have potentially the sort of £1,000-ish. Oh, no, so it won't be that much, will it? Their glasses. I have the kind of £500-ish that they'll be asking, I think, for a really elegant pair of glasses with some deep Siri AI functionality. Just to be clear to our listeners and viewers, we don't know that this is happening. We just suspect it. We are pretty convinced, are we not, Susie, that that's about to happen this autumn. And so it would be, but it would be Apple, to answer your question, that I'd go for, because at the moment I'm still in that ecosystem, and I think that they've made such a pig's ear of Siri. They've evolved nothing. They've promised everything for the last two phone releases of iPhone, and they still haven't got a Siri that's anything like the experience I can get from Grok, from GPT 5.5, Claude. And so they need that. So it means, you know, it's going to be a good experience, I think. It's going to be a really good experience. And we know that their product design is second to none. So, yeah, that's what I want. I mean, I want the Project Aura for the visuals, but I just think I'll end up, it'll be a bit of fun, maybe an auto queue at an event, maybe a couple of fun games, but I don't think ultimately it's going to change my life. You know, and also the other contextual bit of information is that I'm in the market for the Steam Frame. So the new virtual reality helmet, which is coming, you know, any day now, any month now, from Valve. So my virtual reality head-up display, you know, AAA full color visuals are going to be taken care of by that. So I'm
dancing
happy to get
dancing done. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So you're looking for the optics, if you'll excuse the term there, to come. Yeah.
Well, I'm actually looking. I'm happy to have just an audio only pair of glasses from Apple until, you know, in a year or two they drop what will be, you know, the device that I've wanted since the 80s, which is a lightweight pair of glasses with augmented virtual assets visuals.
It's time for a revelation, I think, from them, isn't it? Yeah, that is right. Then that's it for another Gadget Show podcast. We are wrapped up.
Amazing. It went so quickly this week, Susie. We'll be back next week with more tech and more absolute nonsense. But before we disappear, a huge thank you to the brilliant people helping keep this podcast powered through Patreon. So I'll start off, Susie. Big thanks to Rob Shaw, Ian Jones, Lincoln Brown, Jonathan Williams, Jeff Dennis, Chris Roberts, Samuel Locker, Damo MC, Nigel Harrison, Logan Gray, Gavin Warnock, Stuart White, Paul Burks, Martin Budnarowski, Peter Pinner, Dave Green, Ren Mandagorn, Dave McHugh, Matthew Riley and Chris Cool.
And also a massive thanks to Beano engineer Gareth Kirk, the Gadget Gremlin, Stuart Reinhardt, Matthew Downs, Stefan Bates, Dan Tankton, Adam Carter, Tom Sanders, Damien Deeks, Chris Dalrymple, Rick Ellison, Kev Barnes, Yusuf Ali, Ian Wilson, Sam Supersonic, Wackerman, Barry Music Tech Info, Brian Mark Wild, Barclay Thompson, Stephen Brandom, Andrew Brandt, Fluky D, Paul Sherrock, Mark, Colin Taylor, Alan Williams and Chris Hughes.
I'm still laughing at Beano engineer.
I know.
Paul Brockman, Stuart, Wei Chow Cheng, Kia Robinson, Lee Nightingale, Andy, Danny Brown, Dean Day, Steve Green, Tall Man with Glasses, Andrew Bamford, Duncan Bell, Colin Jones, Gordon Packer, Richard Martin, Simon Ryland, Darren McCracken, Philip Eddington, Anthony White, Skewy Cat, Danny Rushton and Matt Howarth. Seriously, what I mean, gobsmacked. Thank you to all of you. This podcast genuinely would not exist without your support.
Yeah, if you fancy joining our Patreon crew, you'll get bonus episodes, behind the scenes extras, ad-free listening.
And you'll also be entered into the draw for that very tasty Gadget Show competition £5,000 CX prize fund.
Just head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow and come and join us. Bye.
See you next time.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.